Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
This week on Underdogs, which NFL teams can turn it around in the draft and which NHL teams can keep it going in the playoffs?
The cry goes up both far and near for Underdog.
Underdog.
Countdown going on right now. Morrow, up to Schultz. 5 seconds left in the game.
It's over.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
By George, the dream is alive.
Underdog.
And I guess there's only one thing left to do. Win the whole fucking thing.
It's the Underdogs back with you for another action-packed episode. I'm Jordan Brenner, joined as always by my fabulous co-host, Peter Keating. How are you on this beautiful spring morning, Peter?
I am excellent. I'm ready. I'm psyched. This is exciting. We got a great show coming up.
So a little bit later, we're going to get into the early NHL playoff action with our favorite guest, EJ Raddick. But first, we are blissfully a day away from the NFL draft. And so we're going to cover this underdog style, the only way we can. And Peter, I want to get into the idea of teams that can really sort of supercharge a climb in the standings with one good draft. The template for this obviously is what the Texans did last year, right? They were both on our radar after they had a very successful draft. It wasn't just getting the second and third pick in the draft. It wasn't just getting a quarterback in Stroud who could change their fortunes, but even getting Tank Dell later in the draft, other moves, they turned around the fate of that franchise. So let's get right into it. I think the obvious example,
Jordan,
Peter,
it's good that you want to talk about that, because that's what I want to talk about too. This is great, Jordan. We're on the same page for once. This is excellent.
Thanks.
But Jordan, there aren't that many teams that are so bad yet so well positioned that they could pull off what the Texans did last year. So we're going to have probably going to have to aim a little bit higher, like kind of bad to mediocre teams that could make a big leap, not just do pretty well. You know what I mean?
Sure. To your point, the Texans went 3-13-1 in 2022 before going 10-7 last year. That's going to be hard to replicate, but excuse me. Let me try that again.
Gesundheit.
Gesundheit. Okay. The Texans were 3-13-1 in 2022 before going 10-7 last year. That's going to be hard to replicate, but let's look at teams that, let's start with 7-10 teams. I think, look, the obvious example that everyone's going to be making the comparison to, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, is the Bears, because they have some players in place. They made offseason moves to get weapons. Swift, mm-hmm. Everett, Allen. They re-signed Jalen Johnson. They added Kevin Byard. But now, in terms of draft capital, they have the first and the ninth pick. So obviously the comparison will be made to Caleb Williams. Can he do what C.J. Stroud did last year? They're going to have the luxury to do whatever they want with that ninth pick. The only caveat I'll give you is they don't have much draft capital beyond that. No second-round pick, no 5, 6, or 7. But, Peter, obviously a lot of people are going to be looking at the Bears to, with the right quarterback, maybe make a big leap, right?
Yeah, there's kind of a lot riding on that nine pick, though, even though it's rather underpublicized, isn't it? Because Caleb Williams, we all know what he's supposed to mean, and I think there's a great chance that he's going to be fantastic. But what kind of job are they going to do surrounding him with talent? You're right, they don't have a lot of other picks. So I'm kind of interested in that second pick. But yes, they're clearly one that could make a big leap.
Yep. Give us another team that can make a leap that's maybe not quite as obvious as a team sitting with two top 10 picks.
Okay. My favorite team in this whole exercise, the Atlanta Falcons. They've got four picks in the top 80, and it's usually after the middle of the second round where picks start to fall off in value, though that varies by position. Let's just set the stage really quickly. They signed Kirk Cousins. Last year, they were plowing through a year helmed by Desmond Ridder and Taylor Heineke, about 26th in the NFL, however you want to measure quarterback stats, significantly below average. Now they'll be significantly above average. They signed Rondale Moore and Darnell Mooney. What's funny about that for you and me is we spent the last year or two talking about those two guys being in the group. Every time we look at receivers whose underlying stats and metrics are better than their on-field performance, we've come up with them as surprise candidates to take a leap forward. We like both of them. Look, they already have Bijan Robinson, Tyler Allgeier. They already have Drake London. They already have Kyle Pitts. Here's an underrated fact, too, and then you'll see where they're sitting. Their offensive line They got four guys who grade above 70 in Pro Football.
Yeah, that's
conference.
Why we loved Bijan last year as a fantasy prospect.
Yes.
And Peter, and my only bone to pick with you on the Falcons is just that they've already made the leap just by getting Kirk Cousins to a team that everyone agreed had a lot of talent and no quarterback play. They're already the favorite to win the NFC South. But make your case now for why the draft is even more important.
Here you go. Having set up the offense like that, they are now free to spend their entire draft capital, which they have a lot of, on bolstering their defense, if that's what they want to do. Now, Jordan, in the last 10 years, the Falcons are picking eighth, of the top seven picks over the past 10 years, of those 70 picks, 27, an average of 2.7 a year, have been on defensive players. So 2 to 3 players who are on defense are usually gone by the time you get to number eight. This time, there probably will be zero defensive players selected in the top seven. Think about it. We're talking about a draft full of quarterbacks and wide receivers. Mm-hmm. The Falcons are probably going to get whoever they want on the defensive side of the ball with that pick. It could be Dallas Turner, the edge rusher. It could be Byron Murphy. It could be Latu. They're going to have the best defensive player in the – and in the second and third rounds, they're then set up to get high-impact starters. I've seen Kamari Lassiter mocked to the Falcons with the third-round pick. I'd be happy if the Giants took him with the second-round pick. He gave up 136 yards all last year as a cornerback,
Right.
They might get Michael Hall, the big defensive lineman at Ohio State. Anyway, point being, they could get TJ Tampa. Point being, they're set up the best quarterback, tight end, running back situation in the division, and have at least two or three high-impact starters who are new on defense, who are young.
All right, let's go off the obvious. I would say this is the least obvious of our four picks, and that's the Arizona Cardinals, Here's why I like them. They're more Texan-like in that they had a crappy record last year, but with Kyler Murray at quarterback, they were 3-5 in the eight games. Of those five losses, it included a five-point loss to the Texans, where they had the ball at the Houston 27 with 41 seconds left, a loss to the Bears that was a one-score game in the fourth quarter, and a one-point loss to Seattle to end the season where they missed a 51-yard field goal at the buzzer, So a couple breaks, and that's a better-than-500 team with still some a crappy talent. The point is they have the quarterback in place. That's why it's different from what the Texans did last year. They have the draft capital. Lot of picks, 2 seconds, 2 thirds. They're already talking about trading back and trading up again. We know they're going to make a lot of moves, so they can sort of go in a lot of different directions here. They have a last place schedule. And also they kind of look like the Texans in one other way. They made a lot of more marginal moves in free agency. They didn't make big splashes. They got a C in their free agency grade from PFF. You know who only got a B minus in their free agency grade last year? The Texans. So they're focused more on the draft. And I think you're going to see them bring in like 7 players who might be able to contribute right away as rookies. And with Kyler Murray in place, with guys who performed better than expected last year, young players, I could see them taking a leap. The biggest problem for them is they're in a tough division.
They got 7 picks in the top 104, mm-hmm. 5 in the top 80. So they should be able to restock, whether or not they make a couple of trades. I sincerely hope that they stay put with their top pick in the first round and take Marvin Harrison Jr. You got a young Kyler Murray who's finally healthy. He's not going anywhere for a long time. You may as well get him the generational wide receiver talent, and that would be very exciting. And then they fill in as much as they want on the defense.
All right, Peter, hit us with one last team that could make a leap.
Well,
the
a lot
draft.
Of people are mocking Brock Bowers to the Jets, and it's a good reason for it. He's the greatest tight end in college football history, and he's won the Mackey Award twice. He's an All-American 3 times. But here's the deal: he's not OJ Howard or one of these guys who is impressive because they just run down the field. He blocks, he runs. He had 5 rushing touchdowns. He has 75-yard rushing touchdown on a sweep against Kent State. I'm not saying he's going to do that a lot, but this guy is tough. He's hard to tackle, and he would create immense mismatches. The other thing about the Jets is, unlike Atlanta, who developed their offensive line, the Jets went out and bought most of an offensive line. They traded for 3 new guys. But 2 of them are 33 and injury prone. The other one's John Simpson, who looked good in Baltimore, but does not grade well at Pro Football Focus. If they just spend a 3rd-round pick on an offensive lineman, maybe Brandon Coleman from TCU, who didn't give up a sack last year, even though he's playing while he was hurt, that would be an outstanding draft. You give Rodgers one more target. You know about all the other weapons. You know about the defense. Give Rodgers that untackleable target and some depth on the offensive line. In the deep in the draft, they could even look for special teams, guys who can block punts or a quarterback.
Right. I only worry about, again, no second round pick. So it sort of limits your ability to bring in a number of potential impact players. But the Jets certainly made moves in the offseason, and, you know, potentially having a quarterback will make a big difference. But look, we'll wait and see what happens on Thursday night. We're excited to get going, but it's time to turn our attention to the NHL playoffs right after this.
Underdog, underdog.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Underdog, underdog.
We're back. We're ready to talk some playoff hockey. And joining us is Peter, my old friend from our ESPN days. You can see him now as an analyst on NHL Network. Welcome back, Mr. EJ Raddick.
Well, thank you, Jordan. It is so good to be with you today.
Yes, EJ and I are both struggling.
Can't go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah, EJ and I are both struggling with the retirement of John Sterling. We may have enjoyed his calls a little too much about 15 years ago in the office.
Remember back in the office, EJ was the best dressed man at ESPN, the magazine.
Let's be fair. That wasn't saying much.
Well, but I think he could have been called onto TV at any point. So he had to be, it's like being a funeral director, right? You have to be ready. You have to be in the suit at any time. Cause you might
at
be
any
summoned.
Moment.
At any moment.
Now here I am in a sweat top.
We're all dressed like George Costanza now. Yeah,
that's right. There you go.
All right. So Ege, playoffs are underway. We are locked in. I'm introducing our producer, Sarah, to playoff hockey, Jordan, a different character who can't get enough hockey, but, we got to start, with, you know, this is the Underdogs podcast. You have an unusual underdog in the Vegas Golden Knights. They're ready up 1-0 in the series. Just to put a fine point on this, they have the 6th best odds to win the Stanley Cup ahead of the 1 seed, who they're up 1-0 on in Dallas. So what do you make of Vegas? Do they have legs for not only an upset, would you call it an upset, and can they repeat? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's really weird to call the Vegas Golden Knights an underdog. It's 100% weird to do that. They're the 8th seed because during the second half of the season, they had a number of injuries and, their goaltenders struggled. I mean, they had a lot of challenges in their group. They had a great start to the season after winning the Stanley Cup last year. I think they won their first 10 or 11 games. And then since then, it's been a lot of up and down. But the Vegas Golden Knights have got everybody pretty much healthy now. And they are not the darlings of hockey fans, for sure, because they do work the system better than anyone else. They play kind of like people will think they're outside the rules because of the hard salary cap in the NHL. They have guys that get injured. They put them on long-term injury to create money within the cap to bring in other high-end players. And they've done this the last couple of years. Mark Stone is their captain. He was hurt last year, had back surgery, missed the last couple of months, came back in, played in the playoffs in Game 1. This year, he was dealing with a lacerated spleen, missed the last couple of months, came back in Day 1. He's playing. So, I mean, hockey fans don't love it. They see it, especially fans of other teams, see it as, you know, maybe they're kind of cheating, playing against the rules. But actually, they are working within the rules as they currently stand. We saw Tampa Bay do something like this. We saw Chicago do something like this in years past. So they're not a beloved group for sure. But when everybody's healthy, Jordan, the Vegas Golden Knights are just a bear. They could be just as good as they were last year.
What's fascinating is they're +1,000 to win the cup right now, which is the longest odds of any team that's already ahead in the playoff series. I mean, we're 1-2 games into this. They're up 1-0. They're still plus 1,000. So I wonder how much of it has to do with the spurning of this team by traditionalists and how much of it is just,
well, they're also the 8 seed still. Let's be real. I mean,
yeah. But Jordan, it's a really interesting question. How much is that supposed to count? Like it's a fascinating question.
Well,
like,
and
how
is much, this also EJ? Is this also disrespectful to Dallas, which had the best record in the conference?
Well, you know what? I would just tell you guys this: that the playoffs and the regular season are really two different challenges in the NHL, and it's becoming even more pronounced. You know, watching these first several games of the playoffs, it's pretty clear that to me that there's a little bit of a different standard. They don't, some things that are penalties in the regular season are suddenly not penalties in the playoffs. And, you know, it's a night to night challenge for the officials. It's one of the hardest sports to officiate, I think, in the world. But to me, it is a different task to beat the same team 4 out of 7 and then do it in four consecutive series. Vegas has done it. I think, Peter, there's something to what you're talking about the idea that they're not a like well-liked group. So I don't know if that influences the better or not. All I know is, for me, as I watch game one unfold, the questions I've had about Vegas were slowly being answered, and they were being answered in a positive manner. So we'll see how they make out against Dallas. I think the Central Division playoff path is really difficult because – if they were to beat Dallas in round one, they get the winner of Colorado and Winnipeg, which is another tough match. And then they could play, let's say, the Edmonton Oilers if they come out of the Pacific. That's a hard path. But when I look at all the teams in the playoffs right now, if Vegas plays to what they have within their group, they could easily win the Stanley Cup again.
So let's talk overdogs for another second before we move on to more long shots and our New York Rangers. Again, talk about title odds not aligning with how a team has performed at this point. The Rangers are plus 700 to win the cup. That's only the fourth shortest odds. Are they being overlooked a little bit, disrespected to a certain degree? Why are they not the favorite, in at least the betting public's eyes? And where do they line up in your mind as a Stanley Cup contender?
Well, to me, there's really three teams in the East. And I think the West is a much more difficult path. So, and the Rangers are seen to be, you know, and this was even before both teams took a 2-0 series lead. It seemed like Carolina and the Rangers were destined to meet in the division, you know, in this division or the conference semifinal. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, the betting public has pushed more for Carolina, I believe, than for the Rangers. Maybe it was the additions at the deadline of Jake Gensel and Evgeny Kuznetsov. They finished the season really strong. When you look into the inside numbers with the Rangers, they rely on their penalty killing and power play quite a bit. Their 5-on-5 play hasn't been quite as good during the regular season. I guess, you know, when you look at it, you're betting one of those two teams, right? You're betting Carolina and the Rangers because they're going to meet in the second round. One of them's going to be gone. I guess there are more people that feel like they like Carolina. I would tell you this, the teams have played in the past recently, and the Rangers have fared well against Carolina. So it would make more sense to me that the Rangers would be more of a favorite than Carolina. And I think the other team that's hovering out there is the Florida Panthers, who just won. Last night they beat Tampa. They won their 11th straight playoff overtime game over the last couple of years, which is kind of mind-boggling to win 11 straight as a franchise. And on the flip side, the Tampa Bay Lightning lost their 6th straight playoff overtime game going back to the last couple of years. So playoffs are crazy, but I like Florida as well, especially now that they've got the early lead.
EJ, I want to ask you one quick thing about Carolina, who I think analytics love. Like if you look at just shot volume, right? Shots taken, shots allowed, their margin is by far the, now you can adjust that for all kinds of things, for special teams and blocks and goalies. But I mean, they follow that process, if you will, and they do it really well. I want to ask you about their goalie. Like, should we believe that Frederik Andersen is like playing? Is this level of play sustainable? He came back from missing time because of, I think, getting blood clots repaired or medicated, right? Blood clot issues. And since then, they've barely lost, right? They have the best record in the league since the trade deadline. They've up 2-0 now, but he's barely given up. I think he's given up like 1.2 or 1.3 goals a game since he came back. Now he's had years where he's been one of the best goalies in the league, but is he really this good? Is he benefiting from the time off? Was it a health issue? Like how good is this guy? Cause he's playing out of his mind.
He's good. I would say it's not sustainable over, you know, four rounds of playoffs to beat a 950 or 940 save percentage. I think it's really, really difficult. He is a good goaltender. I think the rest during the season, he's fresher. I mean, that's the thing. When guys miss time during a long 82-game schedule and can come back right around the time of the playoffs and are fresh, I do think that's an advantage. He's played the last, you know, month, 6 weeks, and played very well. They will need Peter Kochetkov at some point, who is their other goaltender there, I think, to play. And in fact, they rotated those guys down the stretch. So we'll see what Rod Brindamore, the head coach, decides to do there. But I would suggest that it's really not. It's not sustainable. He's a good goalie. He's capable of playing really well. But I think also the teams like the Islanders got three on them the other night, had a 3-0 lead and just blew the lead, right? And Carolina, talk about shot volume. You really got to watch those numbers now, because Carolina out-chanced. They had the shot attempts in the game were 110 to 28, which was kind of mind-boggling to me. I mean, I've never seen a shot advantage like that. Talking right. about missed shots, block shots, actual shots on goal, it really tells you about the geography of the game, which was played mostly in the Islanders' end. So I think that Rangers-Carolina series, which seems to be on the horizon, that's where you got to differentiate as someone who's looking at this to try to, you know, to win money or to bet on these teams, is I think you got to look at who do you like better and how do they match up against one another? Because that's all that matters. It's how they match up against each other over the course of seven games.
Age, let's head west for a minute. The Demko injury, what does that mean for the Vancouver Nashville series? What are you hearing about the extent of it? And, you know, does this change any of your thinking about long-term what's going to happen in the West?
Well, yeah, it does, because, you know, listen, Casey DeSmith is a capable backup goaltender, but you're not going to go through the playoffs and win the Stanley Cup, I don't believe, with Casey DeSmith. And so you saw that in game number two. The Predators were able to get the lead, get a couple of goals early. I just think it takes away from your mojo as a group. I mean, Thatcher Demko is a horse. I mean, like when he's playing, like, you know, when you're playing, you're sitting on that bench, you're playing in front of Thatcher Demko, you're feeling like, you know, you're feeling good. And it's not that you're not feeling good with Casey DeSmith. You're just not Thatcher Demko. Now, Demko, Rick Tocchet talked after the game last night, their head coach, he said it's week to week. So right away, that tells you he's probably out of this series. And now they're 1-1 with Nashville. I just think it gives Nashville a great opportunity. As we went into this, I wasn't so sure that Vancouver, I've seen this before where teams haven't been in the playoffs a while, have a great regular season. And this is a great example. Everything really goes well. Everybody, for the most part, stays relatively healthy. And then in the playoffs, things start to go awry. And we see it now with Vancouver. They get a significant injury to their most important player. And so at least Casey DeSmith is a capable guy. But certainly they're not the same dangerous team without Demko. And Demko has had a number of injuries over the last couple of seasons now, going back 2 or 3 years. So it does worry you, even if he could come back, even if they could get into the second round, you know, is he going to be able to play? So I think this is a tough one for the Canucks.
Jordan, just to hang a number on that, Demko is this season 0.42 goals saved above expected per 60 minutes. That's a staggering number. Second best in the league. Behind a young man from Winnipeg, by the way. And if you want to ride a hot goalie, should we all just take the Jets at plus 2,000? Is there a crazy long shot coming out of the West that you think has a chance, EJ? The way that we might have thought Tampa Bay did in the East, but I think that dream is over.
You know, listen, the Tampa and Florida series, it was really two close games, you know. So, you know, we'll see how that plays out. I mean, if anybody could hang in there, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning for sure. You know, the Winnipeg Jets, they're a good team. And Connor Hellebuyck, oddly enough, hasn't been great in these first two games. I mean, he gave up 6 goals in game one. Fortunately yes. for the Jets, they scored 7. And, you know, in game number two, the Colorado Avalanche tightened up their defense. They tightened up their play in front of their goalie, Alexander Georgiev, who had been all kinds of struggling over the last month or so. And Georgiev kind of tightened things up and played much better, really to my surprise, because when a guy has gone on this kind of run of poor play, you have a day off and you're into game two, it usually doesn't turn around that quickly. They didn't have any other options because their number two goalie, Jonas Annunen, is out ill. So, and he's an inexperienced guy. But Georgiev came up and played very well in game two. But I do like the Jets team. I think that series is going to be back and forth. The problem, again, in that division, Colorado. I mean, they play a high-octane game. Their problem is keeping pucks out of their net. But, you know, if Hellebuck and the Jets don't defend better and Hellebuck doesn't play better, probably doesn't bode well for them. But I do like the Jets as a team. That's going to be a really good series down the stretch.
Well, look, it looks like the whole playoffs is going to be really good down the stretch. Like it always, is. I mean, you know, Peter and I were talking. He said, why isn't Carolina even better than a plus 425 favorite? And I said, because it's hockey.
And
anything can happen. But we will be watching.
Hey, guys, I'll give you one other tip just quick. The Edmonton Oilers, when we talk about the bracket, it's playing out favorably for them because I think they're going to handle L.A. We'll see how it plays out. L.A.'s not bad, but I think they'll handle L.A. They could get the winner of Nashville and Vancouver. Even if Vancouver wins, they could be without their goalie. That path is a good path for a team that has been close over the last couple of years. So I know the betting public likes the Oilers. Maybe that's why.
Would be fun. And maybe we'll have you on to preview a Rangers Oilers Stanley Cup Finals. Maybe we can manifest that.
That would be awesome.
Well,
that
I have a lot more time now, Jordan, as you know. I've recently departed from my job of 36 years.
Well, EJ, of all the dramatic things that's ever happened.
Roger Clemens has just walked in.
That's right. My goodness gracious.
Well, this has become a John and Susan show. I apologize to every fan of every other baseball team besides the Yankees, but we love you. And on that note, EJ, be well. We are the Underdogs, and we will be back with you next week. The Underdogs podcast is a production of Meadowlark Media and the DraftKings Network. Our show is produced by Sarah McCrory. Our executive producer is Neely Lohman. Follow us on Twitter at Peter Keating NJ and at Jordan Brenner. Tell a friend and subscribe to the Underdogs podcast anywhere you like to listen, and be sure to tune in again next week.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.